This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Known and Never podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Bromley, and this week we are delighted to be bringing you one of very few wins this season. Burnley absolutely battering Sheffield United once again, puts a total of 9 goals past them this season, and they must just be really hating playing us, especially as it's been a miserable season for both sides altogether. The Battle of the Wooden Spoon has been won, hopefully, by Burnley, and we had a glorious day away in Sheffield. I'm joined this week by my colleagues Tom and Rich. I'm going to talk all the way through how that looks in terms of the relegation fight. Is the Great Escape back on, back off again, back on again? Who knows? What impact will Forest's seeming meltdown have on that battle? And what about Vincent Kompany to Brighton? Stick with us, listeners. Let's go. Gentlemen, welcome. How are we both? Happy, I presume.
Still just finishing off my hangover from Saturday. Always a good day out in Sheffield, but to get 3 points as well made it a really good day.
Yeah, imagine. We'll come back to you straight away, actually, Tom, because obviously you were at the game on the weekend, so you can give us some immediate reaction. Rich, two games against Sheffield United in 9 goals. That, you can't get much more categoric than that, can you?
I think that's an indication of how horrifically bad they
are. No. How good we are, Rich. Come on.
Oh, God, it is. Yeah.
This is a pot of positivity, yes. Is this
show. I'm as happy as I can be for a team that's 19th in the league. So we've done very well.
We have done very well.
No, I'm only joking. It's lovely to get a win. It's obviously very nice. You can enjoy your Saturday a little bit more.
And watch match of the day.
Yeah. But if you're a Sheffield United fan, thinking, Jesus, we've lost 9-1 on aggregate to Burnley this season.
I know, right. It must
word, I thought we were crap, and then Sheffield United just gone, nope, here we are.
Yeah, they're definitely the wooden spoon. In terms of atmosphere, Tom, I mean, the crowds going all the way to Sheffield was really impressive, and I think it doesn't surprise me because the support this season away from home has been phenomenal. And actually, those away fans who've travelled all across the country this season were probably thinking, well, this is a great opportunity to actually see my side win live. So it doesn't surprise me the numbers. But in terms of crowd attitude, what was it? Is it buoyant? Is it resigned? Are people just enjoying what's left of the season? What was the feeling before the game?
Yeah, it just felt there was nothing on it. There wasn't really, like any tension or anything. Mm. Anyone that I chatted to wasn't really talking about, oh, if we win this, we've got a chance or whatever. Instead, last week, the Brighton atmosphere didn't really feel like it was a big game, and it was kind of the same. I think people were sort of half expecting that we might win, we might see a few goals. So it was really, even in the pubs beforehand and stuff, there's loads of Burnley fans there. It was really loud, really lively. It was a good atmosphere. But I think maybe part of that was because there wasn't really any tension. And it was the same in the ground as well. It was lively, everyone was singing. And obviously the way that the game went helped that as well. But yeah, it didn't feel like a big game, but then it also didn't feel like we were about to get relegated. It felt like we were in mid-table, the way the mood was. So I think it's testament, really, like you said, to the yards everyone's put in this season, the amount of travelling and the way that the fans, by and large, really have really stuck with the team and the manager, even when we haven't been very good this season.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, and it just goes to show that there's a character amongst the Burnley fans that I think survives every single manager, every single squad, every single league that we go in there, and that we will stick through them. We are quite an honest bunch of supporters. We are quite realistic. We're not self-entitled. You know, we don't spit our dummy out. We just take each week as it comes. Rich, it has put us, and we'll come back to Tom in a minute to talk about the game itself, but it has put us in a bit of a weird position where we could genuinely, I know it's unlikely, but the Great Escape may very well be back on here.
Yeah, I think there's been a few weeks like that, as in there were, like, it looks like we're definitely down, and it's like, well, we'll enjoy this game, and we end up getting a good result. And then we get a little bit closer, and then the next game we don't manage to win. We can't seem to string a run of results together this season. And I do think that whenever there's been a game where it's like, bloody hell, if we get a win today, you know, like that Everton game, Wolves game, you know, where we're really back in the hunt, we kind of make a mistake or we don't turn up or something happens and we conspire against ourselves to lose the game somehow or to not win the game. But listen, we have got a bit of an outside chance. You know, you look at our form in recent weeks and it has been a lot better. I think we lost 3-0 away to Palace, and I think that was a real low moment, that game. You know, we were terrible. You know, we wasn't in the game. And then the week after that, we went away and drew 2-2 against West Ham. And, you know, we've overall been playing a lot better in games. And I think Tom mentioned, you know, even if we do go down, it'll be nice to just get a bit of pride back in the shirt, get some competitive games. And, you know, we have done that. And I think at the moment, we're looking like more of a Premier League side. I think it's helped that companies managed to find a, you know, a settled team or thereabouts. But do I think we'll stay up? I think probably not. You know, listen, probably not with our games, but you've got to have some hope, haven't you? You know, what's life without a little bit of hope? I think this weekend's games will be a big testament to it. You know, if we can, you know, Forest aren't going to really get anything against, well, you can't see them getting anything against City. I think you've watched the way United's played in recent weeks. You know, they are a mess. They've got a lot of injuries. You know, Casemiro might be at centre-half again. You think, you know, we will score at Old Trafford, in my opinion.
Yeah, obviously, I agree.
You know, our issues recently have been at the other end. You know, we're at least now, we are looking at goal threat. You know, there was a time where we was conceding goals and not looking like scoring goals. So that's a positive. And if we go into that Newcastle weekend, which is obviously the weekend after this, where we're... You know, a couple of points, you know, say if we get a draw, you know, or, you know, and Forest losing, we're even a couple of points away from that survival. I think, like Tom said, it felt like there was a little bit of a, you know, a nice laid back atmosphere. I think Turf Moor will be quite up for that game against Newcastle if we can get something. But listen, it's a long shot, isn't it? It is a long shot.
But it's still a shot. That's the thing.
We've still got a shot, you know, yeah. It's kind of, you know, we've been dealt a card with the points deductions. Are Forest going to get some points back? Who knows? You know, they've appealed it. I don't think
they've made any friends this weekend with that.
Well, possibly not.
Though,
I know we're going to discuss that. So, you know,
let's,
still
let's stick with that now.
But yeah, listen, let's say we go to United and we beat them. I know it's a big if, and I know Tom's like, nah, there's no chance. But if we do go to United and beat them, you know, because Jesus Christ, you know, and then obviously City beat Forest, it's, you know, you could be pretty much like level points, you know, with 3 games to go. And then you go, well, you never know. But I think Tom made a point in our WhatsApp group. Unfortunately, I think Bobby's played Luton a week after that. So
yeah, they do.
I kind of do feel we need to get 4 points. Forest
don't play Luton. So yeah.
No, Forest play Sheffield United.
Yeah, Sheffield United the week after. So yeah.
Sorry.
But you know what? Sheffield United could be relegated by then and genuinely have nothing to play for. They're pretty much relegated now already. At some point this season, they're going to have to just try and give their fans and their managers something back.
All their players play like they've got clustered in the boots. Don't they? So I think they're going to be struggling.
That's one we've not seen. So in terms of a recap then, in terms of the relegation battle, Forest have got to go away. They're at home to City, then they are away at Sheffield United, then they're at home to Chelsea, and then obviously they've got us, the final game of the season. Burnley, on the flip side, have got Man United, we have got Newcastle, Spurs, and then not Forest at the end of the season. On paper, it looks like we've got the much tougher fixtures. We've got three. You know, they've got 3 winnable games. We've only got 2 if you count United with theirs. So that's a bit tenuous. They're ahead of us already in the league table. But Tom, Rich very much hit the nail on the head, and I think this is what I've written about quite a lot this week. At this stage of the season, there's literally no reason not to have hope, because there's four games left. We've got everything to play for and nothing to lose. It looks like we're going to go down. We've had a miserable season, so one way or another, it's going to be over in four games, and we're either going to look forward to a new season in the Championship, or we can actually just be delighted because we survived. There's literally no reason not to. We might as well just all go all in on this train and just get excited. Can you get excited about a great escape, Tom? Come on.
No, not really.
Yes! Oh, I thought we were going to do it then, Rich. I thought it was going to come across to our side.
Well, not you've just
nothing
yet,
to
anyway.
Lose, though, Tom. You've nothing to lose.
Well, the thing is, though, it's, you know, if you don't expect anything, then you're not disappointed, are you? Whereas if you go into the Old Trafford game thinking, oh, we're going to win this and we're going to be back on the train and then we get battered again, then you've sort of ruined your day, don't you? And kind of rather have a bit more of a relaxed out than like we did in Sheffield. But it's, I think if you're being sort of objective about it, we're 3 points behind Forest as is, and we're not even talking about Luton here, by the way, and they've got quite a kind running, and they're still obviously 2 points above us. But if you look at Forest, they've got the 3 points above us, the goal difference is miles better, so we've essentially got to make 4 points upon them in the last four games. As you said, we've got Sheffield United, which you can't really see them not beating them the way they are, so that's 7 points to make up. We're playing them at home, that's a must win, so then it's 4 points to make up. So that essentially we've got to get 4 points minimum from Man United away, Newcastle at home and Tottenham away. Do I think we're going to do that? Realistically, no, I don't. But if we do win at Old Trafford, then you know, I'll perhaps start buying in a little bit more, especially because, as Rich said, I don't think Forest are going to get anything off Man City. But it's a big if, you know. We've got to be realistic. We were good on Saturday. I think we're in the best form of the teams that are down there at the minute. We're certainly playing better football than Forest and Luton are at the minute, which gives you a bit of hope. But I think we've probably left it too late, and I just don't see 4 points from those three fixtures given, you know, the fact that we've won five games all season kind of thing. But yeah, if we win at Man United, then I'll perhaps start to be on your side. But at the minute, I don't think it's really realistic, and I'd rather not get my hopes up and then feel a sense of crushing disappointment coming off Old Trafford.
It's just going back to what Tom said, I think we've just left it a bit too late. I think just a bit, like you said,
even a couple of games too late.
Even in this run of the recent fixtures, you look at like West Ham, Wolves, Everton, and Brighton, we've thrown the best part of like 7, 8, 9 points away like just
so
mistake.
Frustrating.
Couple of refereeing decisions here and there, and like you look at it's a really difficult one, the Murich one, isn't it? Because we are definitely a better side with him in the team, but my God, those mistakes against Brighton and Everton. Jesus, where the schoolboy stuff, aren't they? So
that's been the biggest problem this season, though, Rich. It's been the self-destruct button. The amount of times we've just, like, it's been appalling, and it's really frustrated me that we've been our own worst enemy.
It's such a football cliche. I don't know if anyone follows Brian Gunn's football Twitter account. It's absolutely fantastic, and he puts these videos together. Have you seen it, Tom? But we have been the architects of our own downfall, haven't we? And that's a real football cliche. But
yeah, we
oh
have.
My word! Some of the, you know, you could literally, like, I'd love to see someone who's better with computers than me actually put a compilation together of some of our mistakes with the Jimmy Hill music in the background, because I think you'd get a good long reel of it. And I think that was, you look at the difference between now and the previous Premier League era, and you hardly had any of those individual mistakes, did you? You know, there was very, very little catastrophic errors in the terms of goals, and this season it's just been like one after the other, you know. And it's, I think this season will be one we look back on. I think we'll get relegated just, and I think we'll look back on and God almighty, imagine if we got a couple of points here and there, you know, just to keep us up. And, you know, you look at Forest, who's obviously had that big whinge, haven't they, about the referee's decision, and you think if that second goal of Foster's got given, you know, what the swing
would
be.
They've forgotten about those, haven't they?
I think, I think I'll look back at this season with one of massive, not disappointment, but massive regret of what could have been, because we've seen the season.
That's my biggest feeling.
Tom's probably been a bit more frustrated than me in terms of style of football. I've been really frustrated with some of the basic defensive mistakes and defensive structure we've had.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we've had spells of like playing really good football and we've scored some really, really good goals this season. But there's just been it's just been littered with too much nonsense and too many team errors and individual errors.
Yeah, definitely. Tom, one of the things that Rich touched on then was just how much, and we've talked about this many times, just how much stronger a side we look with Muric in the team. Company stuck with him this week, despite those howlers against Brighton and against Everton. And he showed some character, particularly in that first half. He pulled out some incredible saves to keep us in the game in a first half that Sheffield United probably edged.
Yeah, I think up to our first goal, they were the better team, really. They were certainly the only one to whip the keeper in the first sort of half an hour. Two really good saves. The one from McBurney is a poor finish, but Muric just got to stand up and he does what he needs to do. And then the save from Brereton Diaz as well. Again, he should just square that Diaz. I don't know why I'm calling him Diaz. That's not his name, is it? I don't know why everyone pretends this. Ben Brereton Diaz. It's quite annoying because he's not. It's called Ben Brereton. Ben Brereton should score, or he should square it. But he does neither. Muric makes the save. And I think the first sort of 30, 35 minutes, the frustration was we had a lot of the ball, but we just weren't very direct. There's a lot of, as Rich says, I find the football we play quite frustrating at times. It's kind of why I play one pass when 10 will do kind of attitude that we seem to have sometimes. but the first goal was kind of everything that I was wanting to see. It was the run from Odobert was brilliant. It reminded me a little bit of at Wembley when we played Sheffield United. You know, Elliot and McCann running through the middle and breaking out. Just direct. He has the shot, it gets blocked, and then from first hearing in the away, and it was like, how has that gone in? Obviously, when you watch it back, there's the big deflection and the keeper's just wrong forward, but it trundles into the back of the net. I don't think it was really a lead we deserved. I think, like you said, Sheffield United edged the first half, but the reaction to it was brilliant. You know, as we've said with us a lot this season, when we can see the goal, you can see the heads drop sometimes, and it was the same Sheffield United. Then we go, you know, go up the other end and get a second one a couple of minutes later, and it's another. I know Richard said there some of the Sheffield United players, they had custard in the boots, and that keeper had custard in his gloves as well. He had a bit of a shocker in that first half, and it's 2-0 at half time, and we didn't really deserve to be 2-0 at half time, I don't think, and this is why I think it's probably not a great idea to get carried away, because if we play like that first half against Man United, we probably will be 1-2 down at half time, and then then the bubbles burst. But I think the second half, you know, Sheffield United come out, they score that goal pretty early on, and Muric has to make another brilliant save. But when they got that goal back, you're thinking, God, here we go again. You know, you're thinking about West Ham away or whatever. But the reaction to that was fantastic. And after they pulled one back, we went off a couple of gears then, and we looked like a good side, and we really controlled the game after that. So that was very encouraging to see. And I know the caveats, they're not a good side, Sheffield United, etc. But as the old adage says, you know, you can only be what's put in front of you, and we did that. In the end, we did that convincingly, and we could have won by more than 4-1 as well, I think.
Yeah, no, I think that's true. Rich, one of the things as well that we've perhaps not been able to say for most of this season, but feels like it's coming, certainly improving in the last four games. You look at Forest's performance this weekend, that tweet we've all seen it, the tweet that they got their admin to put out, accusing the referee of cheating, accusing, claiming that they told that the VAR representative was a Luton fan and they asked him to remove. That's turned out to be not true. It's just listen, we all share their frustration with terrible refereeing decisions. The standard of refereeing in this league is light years behind the standard of the football, and it has to be addressed as soon as possible. There's some shocking decisions being made for everybody all season. So we get it, but you simply cannot do what they've done. Do you think that's indicative of just everything melting down? You know, everybody's losing their cool, whereas we seem to be calm, collected, and getting a more balanced headspace, team and manager, which we've not seen all season.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, I think with Forest, it goes down to probably the points deductions. I think it's had an impact with that. I think there's a lot of people who think the Premier League's been unfair with how they've distributed the punishments with the financial fair play breaches. But it was just like, when you first seen it come through, you just thought it was a parody account. You know, that's
yeah, you did.
And you fought for it, but then you're actually like, bloody hell, it's actually Forest real account. But like, and then you hear after the owner and the fam, and I can't pronounce his surname, so I'm not going to try. But Tom might know better, being from that part. I know Tom's not from Nottingham, but being from the East Midlands, he might have a few Forest fans to pronounce.
That's a tenuous link, is that? I'm just going to say.
That's East Midlands, isn't it?
Yeah, Tom, you're from roughly that end of the thing. Can you maybe just help us with some pronunciation, please?
No, I'm sorry, maybe I didn't word it correctly. I know Tom's got a few Forest fans, so we might hear his name said more than what that I did. That's what I meant. But then with him, he is a loose cannon, and that's me putting it politically correct. It doesn't surprise you at the same time. I think there was that game when we played Olympiacos, where he went chasing the referee down the tunnel when they had a decision go against him. And in my opinion, they've done it to put pressure on the Premier League to go, look at us, poor little Forest, we're getting all the decisions against us. You know, so they're trying to swing the bias in Forest's favour that, maybe are the officials in the coming games, are they going to be scared to make a decision in case they're going to come under more heat? But it's a very, very risky one, knowing what the kind of, you know, the facing with the points deductions and different things. I know they're having an appeal at the moment, which kind of, you know, will they get points back? Who knows? But obviously that goes to an independent regulator, doesn't it? I think I'm right on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just a very interesting one. And like you said, I think we're just quite calm, cool and collected. You know, you've seen JJ Watt, I thought, spoke very well on the overlap, saying, you know, we've got two plans if we stay up, if we go down. And the realistic expectation with Burnley is they probably had a good idea behind the scenes that we've probably been relegated since Christmas, so it doesn't come as a surprise. And I suppose going into this mini running, we're nobody's favourites to stay up. So it does take the pressure off, as we can kind of go to Old Trafford and play with freedom, you know, and express ourselves a little bit without the pressure being on, where you feel the pressure is firmly on Forest, you know, in this position now from where they are to stay up. And it's probably the same for Luton, to be honest. I know they had a bad result at the weekend, but nobody expects them to stay up. And that's just, I think the Premier League this season has been, you know, this is kind of my, what, maybe 20th year watching football that I remember. I'm 31 now, and I can't remember a season at the top level being as messy as this, in terms of, like, obviously points deductions.
Oh, it's been appalling.
Decisions.
Yeah.
Here, there and everywhere. It's not, on the whole, it's not been an enjoyable season for football. And, you know, we can do a whole other podcast on that. But, yeah, I think Forest are definitely feeling the pressure. And, like I said, I just want to go into that last game of the season, somehow or another, them lose enough games, us get enough points where, if we win, we stay up.
You know, but oh my goodness me, like the pressure of that final game will be ridiculous. Can you imagine?
I just want to give ourselves a shot, or, you know, give ourselves a chance, because I'm in the boat with Tom. I don't expect us to stay up. And even if we're like somehow getting to a position on that last game of the season where we can stay up, I think it's a bit different than last time. I think last time it was more to in and fro and up and down, but this time we've been so far behind it all season, really.
Yeah.
If we somehow give ourselves on the last day, on the last days, to me, it's like, right, you bought a lottery ticket. You know, you've got a chance of winning. Just go out there. Maybe that's the way I interpret it in my own psyche. I like it.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Be interesting one though, because irrespective of what happens this season, where we're going to be playing our football this season, there has been some question marks raised in the press today, Tom, that Vincent Kompany may not be with us next season, which has been quickly refuted by, well, very much Alan Pearce, who did have a little bit of his own Forest Twitter strategy today, where he came out and called a certain football influencer on Twitter a child, which was like, okay, this is going to escalate at some point. But there's been rumours today that Brighton are going to be looking for a new manager in the summer, and high up on their list is Vincent Kompany. Now, we'll come back to Tom on this in a minute because I know how he feels about this, and I think he's got some really good points about who a manager is managing. Is he managing his own CV or is he managing a team? I'm very clear with this, Tony. I'd be interested to see what you think. Vincent Kompany has had a free shot this season by us, under no pressure, when he deserved to be under pressure. He's had a free shot of learning how to be a Premier League manager with no risk to his job, never in any danger of being sacked, the safest manager in the football 92, from what we led to believe. He absolutely has to repay that loyalty, and the price of that is to stay with us next season, presuming it's going well, and get us out of the Championship and back up into the Premier League. I am absolutely adamant about that.
Yeah, I think maybe if he was here, he'd say, well, you know, I got you into the Premier League in the first place with a brilliant season. You know, we won the league at Ewood Park. Therefore, I'm kind of owed a year. Maybe he'd say that. And he'd probably have a fair point as well. I think it's fair to say that the vast majority of clubs would have sacked him, you know, going around Christmas kind of time. It wasn't just that the results were bad, the performance levels were bad. As you say, we've given probably a lot more time than most clubs would, and we've always been that kind of club, I think. It's a funny one, really. I think there's maybe a bit of an appreciation on both sides that it's, and I hate to use the word project, but there is something a bit more long-term. As you know, I've said that we should have sacked him, but I think the majority of fans would disagree with me there. I think the majority of Burnley fans were happy to go down and see what he does next season, maybe even the season after that. Obviously the board are, and I think there's maybe a bit of an understanding on Kompany's part as well that it's probably a good thing for him to kind of stay. It's not many clubs that will give you the kind of the luxury of a 3-4 year job in football, so maybe there's that thinking as well that it's better for his career to kind of develop like that and work, as you say, maybe a little bit away from the pressures you get at other clubs. Having said that, you know, it's a very volatile industry, and you know, you could have the first 10 games are bad next season, we're in the table, he could get the shot then, and then what, well, there is chances of getting another Premier League job. And Brighton, as we know, well-run club, the stable, the well-managed, they don't go about sacking managers willy-nilly. So I think if he was real, if he had a realistic prospect of getting that job, I think he would have to think about it. I think you'd be sensible to do that. I got a bit of pelters on Twitter, I remember last season when there was talk about him being linked with the Tottenham job, and I said he'd be mad to turn that down just because of the opportunity that represents and the fact that they don't always come to you in football. And, you know, there'd be no chance of him getting the Tottenham job with his cachet as it is at the minute. So that has to be a consideration for him as well. But I think you're probably right, all things considered. I think the fact that he's been given this whole season where the majority of managers wouldn't, and the fact that his stock is probably at a bit of a low ebb at this point in time. You know, if he has 10-15 bad games of Brighton at the start of next season, for example, their fans, from what I could see on Twitter today, their fans aren't particularly keen on the idea of getting him in, just because, and let's be honest, he's done a bad job in his first season at this level.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot on his CV at the minute to suggest that he could take over a top 10 Premier League team. So yeah, probably all things considered, it makes sense for everyone just to stick with him for however much of next season. You know, I think even his biggest supporters would say if it's going badly halfway into the season, then it's perhaps something that we need to review. But I think the understanding from the club at the minute is that he's, like you say, it's got the safest job. And from Alan Pace's tweet as well, he seems pretty confident that he's going to stay. And hopefully that's not as bad as the sort of free Nathan Teller stuff they were putting out earlier in the summer for coming back and buying.
Yeah, I think they probably need to have a look at that and rethink that. Rich, over to you. You've got some pretty clear thoughts on this, I think.
Yeah, I think from my point of view, I completely understand why Brighton would want company. I think if you look at Brighton's model and their style of play and how they want to play, it's not exactly the same as Burnley's, but there's a lot of similarities. And I know this sounds daft to Tom, and I think I won't say Tom struggles to get his head around this, but I don't think they're as bothered about company's results that he's done with Burnley this year. They're more bothered about the style of play that he does, and his ability to sign young up and coming players and then obviously be able to sell them on, which replicates Brighton's model. Obviously, it's probably Brighton's look, maybe what he's done with like Odderberg, Alyosha, Mattson, Teller, you know, and I think that's probably where Brighton's looking at it from their point of view. I think Deserve, you know, there was a lot of eyebrows raised about when Deserve came in. People are like, well, his record's not been that good this season, but he matched everything that Brighton wants. I don't know the ins and outs of it, you know, so I'm not going to pretend I know. But I know Brighton, obviously, are very, very statistic, you know, they're very data-driven, you know. They have some, I don't know what it is, but Tony Bloom and somebody else who works in the club, they have some algorithm which they put into a computer and it, like, comes back then with players who would then fit into Brighton's system. And that's the reason they picked up, like, Caicedo, McAllister, you know, seeing that Belieber who played against us, that and Ingra who played against us, who were both two young players who were both thought were fantastic. So I think that's what Brighton's obviously done. And I think in two games against Brighton this season where we've got a draw against them, I think they'd have watched those two games and been impressed with how we played. Mm. And going back to what Tom says, at times this season, it's infuriating. I've been infuriating with the defending this season more than the style of play. Yeah. But I probably, you know, and obviously the mistakes which we mentioned, but I think Brighton will probably look at that style and go, right, if he's got better players and he's got better defenders, especially playing the way company wants to play, I think he can be successful. I know Pace has come on Twitter and kind of dismissed it, but to me, there's no smoke without fire with this one. And as we know, you know, Sasha's very, very reliable when it comes down to Vincent Kompany. So whether that'll happen or not, you would like to think after Pace has been very, very loyal to company that he would stay with us. But as Tom says, you know, if he was offered that job, you know, a firm, concrete offer, you know, it's very, very hard to turn down because, as we say, you know, in football, it's very fickle. You know, your stock can be up here 1 minute and it can be down here the next. And if he starts the season badly with us, then he gets sacked. You know, I don't think he will get a Premier League job then. So I think it's a very, very interesting one. And I think it's one that we can wait and see what happens. I'm not particularly... It's quite funny the way Pace does that and comes out. When he chooses to be vocal on social media and when he chooses not to be vocal, I find quite interesting.
Yeah, you've been frustrated with that this season, though.
I'm not going to go into that. I'm going to leave that there to today. So I think we'll just have to see. We'll just have to see what happens on that one. But then where the Burnley go, it's an interesting one, isn't it? That's all football and all the funny games that happen within it.
I think it's fair to say I'd be more frustrated at him going if we get relegated than I would be. If we were staying in the Premier League, I'd just be like, you know what? It's been a great ride. It's time to move on. I probably wouldn't be as bothered. I don't feel the same emotional attachment to Vincent Kompany as I did to Dyche. It's not as long. But even at the beginning, I got a relationship with Dyche very, very early.
There's something
on
about Dyche which... Dyche tactically sets up the way he's, but Dyche is what Dyche does well. It builds connectivity with people. That's what Dyche, you know, where you feel companies, the way he's dealt with Zaruri and Benson and Roberts this season, you see it's very much
very cutthroat.
I'm the manager, you're the coach. He probably sees players as dispendable items that he can.
They're
just
assets. There is assets that is.
They're assets rather than people. I might be completely wrong. I'm just talking conjecture here, but I don't know.
You're not going to get sued. Don't worry, Rich.
I've got a question for you, Natalie. So we didn't win that game against Luton and we were still within the hunt. If we sat company after that game, do you think we'd be above the relegation zone now?
Yes.
So it's a really interesting debate, this company one, whether he should have stayed, whether he should have gone. I think now you've got to keep him. But,
you have to keep him. That's right,
Who would you have brought in at that time, you know?
Yeah, correct. And it's a difficult
one. Really hard one.
We were never going to sack him because of this five-year plan. They've got something.
His name's Vincent Kompany.
Yes.
If company's name was Tom Whittaker, he would have gone in November, December.
Okay. That's twice you've thrown Tom under the buses episode. I'm just saying, I'm just counting.
No, or if his name was Richard Steele, or if his name was Richard Steele, or what I'm trying to get to.
Natalie Bromley, definitely.
Wasn't. If company didn't have this career he did at City, I don't think he'd still be in this job now. And I don't.
Yeah.
Which is, listen, obviously like Lampard and Gerrard and Rooney gets job because of the name. You know, you can't ignore somebody who's had that pedigree in football, who's been there and done that.
And there are benefits to that as well. And I think we've benefited the last 2 years.
We've signed some fantastic players.
We have. We've also benefited from an increased media profile, which is really important. Under Dyche, the media were not interested in us at all. We weren't getting coverage, and that generates revenue and it generates a brand. So that's been good. We have had, we're not being talked about for relegation. We've not got outside media pressure saying, you know, the sack race, Vincent Kompany's under pressure. And that's actually been quite nice this season. And so we have to take that benefit as well. We do. Tom, I think leaving it with that, I think, like I say, I think the one reason, because we didn't sack Kompany in January when we all thought we should have done, it would actually be a bit of a, ironically, considering how vocal we've been about our displeasure with our manager this season, it would actually be a real kick and a real disappointment if we do go down and he does leave us, because that does leave us in a position of not guaranteed, but no longer in a very strong position to come out of the Championship. That's my concern now.
Yeah, it would. I mean, there's going to be, you'd imagine, quite a bit of upheaval in the summer anyway with the amount of players we've got and the way that we seem to do business under ALK and Kompany, that we seem to bring in a whole new team every year. Obviously, we've only got 2 years to as a sample size, but that's been the case both times. I think it shows you, you know, there's a lot of talk of, well, he got us up, so let's stay loyal to him, and even if he takes us down, let's stick with him. It's not always the best way to think about it, because, as I say, he's not necessarily going to be loyal to us, and I'm sure he doesn't necessarily feel like he owes us anything or having got us up here in the first place. And if you do stick with a guy who's out of his depth, as I think that's I don't think that's how the majority of Burnley fans feel, but that's how I feel certainly. If we do go down now and he does leave, then we've just wasted that year, haven't we? Whereas, as you said, I mean, I was talking about getting rid of him October, November kind of time after the Bournemouth game, and I would have given a different manager a window. But say we've stuck with him, and then he does go. I mean, I will caveat this by saying I don't think he will. I don't think he'll be Brighton's first choice by any stretch of the imagination, and I don't think he's desperate to jump ship either. I don't think we're gonna be worrying about this in the summer. But you know, if we did, then we'd be kicking ourselves and saying, well, we've shown him too much loyalty, really. And you have to be aware of that. It is laudable that we are loyal, and it's laudable that we don't jump to sacking managers, but you have got to be ruthless, and it's the same mindset Kompany's had this season. You know, he wasn't loyal to Benson, he wasn't loyal to Zorori, he wasn't loyal to Muric. He thought, I can be better in these positions, and after they got us up, he cast them all aside. And you know, if we thought, as you asked the question, you know, if we thought, if we get rid of Kompany and get someone else in, will that keep us up? Then, in my opinion, we should have done that. But that's where we are now. And as I say, I'm saying this, and it sounds like quite a doom and gloom scenario, but it's all hypothetical, because I don't think he is going to go to Brighton. I think he'll be here next season, and I think he'll do a good job next season. So
it becomes if we're having these conversations now, fine. I agree with you. I don't think he'll be Brighton's first choice, but we do need to be live to the fact that it might be somebody else's first choice. I guess that's where I'm heading with that.
Yeah, possibly. Although, I know Richard was talking about, you know, they use the data, they use the XYZ, the whatever it is that they use at Brighton, but there's always going to be an element of, you know, looking at his track record, and you know, it's not as if he came up and, like Rob Edwards, at what, 20 million transfer budget or whatever, we give him a really competitive budget. He was adding to a team that got 102 points last year. I wouldn't say it's a failure to get relegated necessarily, but to get the amount of points we have done is, in my opinion, it's an underperformance relative to what it's been given. And that's going to factor into anything any other club does. And as I say, the reaction of the Brighton fans is not positive to the idea of company going in there. And if you're a fan of another Premier League team, the likelihood is you're going to look at it and say, well, you got £100 million budget, you couldn't get to 30 points. This is a season where two teams have had massive points deductions and, you know, we still haven't been above them all season. So is that necessarily the profile of manager? And again, it comes back to probably his name. And if that was Tom Whittaker, who got 23 points this season, would I be getting the link with the Brighton job? I wouldn't have thought so. Not that I've placed football mind, but yeah. I have to say, it's not really, until this link appeared today, it wasn't really something that I was worrying about company getting poached by another team. And I personally don't really think it's realistic at this stage.
I think we're in a mad time with football now where style is more important than substance.
Yeah,
which
definitely.
Is just like, so like, what I'm going to do, I think he'll go to Brighton, no, but it wouldn't surprise me because people proceed to like his style. I've mentioned this a few times on the podcast. I'm in a lot of group chat with Everton fans because of work and whatnot. And I tell you what, a lot of Everton fans would take company over Dyche at the moment.
Yeah, well, we've said that all season, haven't we?
You know, and how much they've criticised Dyche. So that's where we're at with football now.
It's
an interesting debate, that one. Where we go. I think Tom made a really good point there, and Tom said that he thinks company's out of his depth. I don't think he's out of his depth, but I think he's overcomplicated it.
Yes, I think that's a really good
point. That's where I think it's happened this year. And I think the last few games, we've gone a bit more back to, or the last 10 games, we've gone a bit more back to basics and we've been more successful. I think Bellamy said that on an interview, didn't he?
Yeah, so, I think that's true. Well, I think we're going to leave it. I think that's going to be an interesting one for a future podcast, actually. I think we'll look into analysing what we think's gone wrong this season and what those frustrations have been. That is all we have time for this week, listeners. My thanks as ever go to everyone who's contributed to this episode. We'll be back on Friday with a preview show looking ahead at the United game. Don't forget to click subscribe to make sure you don't miss another episode. I've been Natalie Bromley. This has been the None and Ever podcast. Until next time. The None and Ever podcast is brought to you in association with the TalkSport Fan Network. Our host and editor is Natalie Bromley, and the show is produced by Matt Moss. Our resident statistician is Dave Roberts, and our FPL expert is Adam Dennett. The analysis show team is collectively Tom Whittaker, Rich Steele, George Poole, Charlotte Rigby, and Adam Dennett. Our music is provided by George Gaskell, and our newsletter team is headed up by Jamie Smith. If you don't already, you can subscribe to our newsletter by visiting noneandever.substack.com. Thanks as ever go to our partners TalkSport. We are proud to be associated with the TalkSport Fan Network.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.